You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today the topic is angels. You might have noticed that this particular Sunday is called St. Michael and All Angels. Just with the title itself, it's implying that Michael is an angel and there are other angels, but it's so unusual, first of all, that it calls Michael St. Michael. What other angel do we call a saint? All the other saint days that we can think of, they're all referring to particular people who lived godly lives, had their faith in Jesus Christ, and now we call them saints. However, though, this is so different here with St. Michael. As we get into the sermon today, I'm going to try to help you understand that Michael is not even an angel. Rather, Michael is the very Son of God, as well as a number of other things related to angels. So let's take a look here. I want to begin by saying some general things about angels that in some cases maybe you know, in some cases you don't. First of all, God created the angels. God created a large number of angels, and I believe he most likely created them on day one of creation. I say that because the Bible says that the angels were there to witness God's work of creation. So for God to create the heavens and the earth, and then the angels, and then they could witness all the rest that God did. That makes sense. The Bible doesn't tell us the particular day. Also, too, the word angel means messenger. Think about how oftentimes the angels functioned in that way. For example, when we think about the birth of Christ, an angel brought a message to Mary. An angel brought a message to Joseph. Even prior to that, an angel brought a message to Zechariah. So imagine God in his throne room is surrounded by a vast multitude of angels, and he calls over an angel, he gives a message to that angel, and he says, take this message to so-and-so on earth. So they function in that way. Also, too, let us know that they are powerful. They are very powerful. And the holy angels are powerful, and the evil angels are also extremely powerful. Let's not forget that. When we think about the angels, God made all of them holy. However, though, he made them with a free will. Just like with the people, he made them holy, but they had a free will. Sometime very shortly after God did his work of creation, then Satan, or Lucifer, the greatest of all the angels, what did he do at that point? He led one-third of the angels in a rebellion against God, and he tempted the woman in order to disobey God's command. Those rebel angels, we know them today as demons or as devils. All of them are doomed for eternity. They have no opportunity for salvation. It doesn't matter if they do good. It doesn't matter what Christ has done. They're all doomed for eternity, and they know it. Think about some of the conversations between demon-possessed people and Jesus in the New Testament. They knew at that point they were doomed. So all of them are aware of what is coming, and there is no escape. It tells us in the book of Hebrews that the Son of God, he put on human flesh in order to redeem all of the fallen humans. He did not become an angel in order to redeem the fallen angels. Also, too, let's understand that God uses the angels. He directs them to bless us in many ways. For example, you're going to find out in a minute here that angels that are holy are oftentimes battling against angels that are evil. What is the ultimate goal of Satan himself and every evil angel, their ultimate goal is to take us who know Jesus Christ and to rip us away from Jesus Christ. For all the ones who don't believe, they're happy with them. They want everyone to be in that category. The angels know, the fallen angels know, they are doomed, and they want to take as many people with them as they can. Getting into our Old Testament reading here a little bit, we come back to Daniel chapter 10. I want to read a quote here, first of all, by Dr. Luther. He wrote, "Daniel writes something special about the angels, that the good angels do battle with the evil angels in defense of men. Daniel calls also the evil angels princes, as when he speaks of the prince of Greece. Hence, we may understand why things are so wild and immoral at the courts of kings and princes, and why they hinder the good and bring on war and unhappiness." Luther continued, "Let me tell you why. There are devils there, hindering to such an extent that nothing goes as it should." Maybe that's part of the reason why every government in the world is pretty messed up, because these evil angels are at work in order to disrupt all that is good. As we get into chapter 10 a little bit further, understand that early in the chapter, there's a great vision that Daniel sees, and now an angel has come to him and is going to give some explanation about that particular vision. When we think about the angel who comes, this angel who comes most likely is Gabriel. And in my understanding of Scripture, I'll tell you a little bit more as we go, but I believe that Michael is the Son of God. And if that is true, that means there's only one angel named in the entire Bible, and that is Gabriel. Any other name that you've heard for an angel, that is not in this book. That might be in other books related to the Bible, but it's not in this book, so possibly only Gabriel is named, well, apart from Lucifer or Satan. So Gabriel would be the only holy angel that is named, and maybe we could say making him the greatest of the holy angels. He's the one who spoke here to Daniel. He said, "The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision is for days yet to come." So he mentioned here about Michael, one of the chief princes. Now, Michael is referred to here in Daniel. Michael is also referred to in a number of other places in the Bible. But you know how sometimes people talk about angels and archangels? There's only one archangel that's referred to, again, in the entire Bible. There are not multiple archangels, and the only angel that's referred to an archangel is Michael. When we think about the Son of God, even though he came and put on human flesh about 2,000 years ago, he is the one through whom God created the whole world. He was the one at the burning bush when Moses spoke to God at the burning bush, and in many, many other places in the Old Testament. Also, too, when you read the Old Testament, you'll see many references, I believe there are about 40 of them, to the angel of the Lord. Who is the angel of the Lord? That is the Son of God before he put on human flesh in the person of Jesus. When we come here to Michael, I believe that he is also the Son of God. And I believe that in part because think about what I just read. Gabriel was saying, "I was battling against evil angels. I could hold them back, but I could not overcome them. And then when Michael arrived, then we were able to defeat them." Think about what it says here in 1 John chapter 3. It says, "The Son of God appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil." The holy angels are not able to overcome the evil angels. They're kind of on equal footing with the power that God has given them, but the Son of God is up here, and he is able to do it. One great reason to believe that Michael is the very Son of God. First of all, in verse 1 of chapter 12, we see Michael appear again, and he refers to some great trouble that is coming. It says here in the Bible, "At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation till that time." Let's focus on that phrase for a moment. So he's talking about great trouble, but it's trouble that has not happened since there was a nation until that time. We have to think about this for a moment and go back into Genesis. So God created the world. People began to multiply more and more and more. Sin came greater and greater and greater. Now, what did God decide to do to the whole world? So we think of the great flood at the time of Noah. So talks here about the time there was a nation. Now, before the flood, there were towns and there were cities, but there were no nations. So what Gabriel is talking about here is he's picking up after the worldwide flood. Why is he doing that? He's talking about a time of great trouble, and he's saying from that time forward, this is going to be the greatest trouble. Because if he said from the beginning of time, that would not be true, because a worldwide flood, that was the greatest trouble. Think about it. Many, many people living in the world, and they all died except Noah and his family. That was the greatest trouble. Now he's talking about another great trouble, though. So he goes on and says, "At that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book." What is this great trouble being referred to? It's a little bit difficult to say. Keep in mind the writing here is taking place about 600 BC. So if we go to the year 168 or 167 BC, that would be the time of Antiochus Epiphanes coming to Jerusalem and desecrating the temple. That was a horrible time. Maybe that's the great trouble. Or think about in AD 70 when the Romans came upon Jerusalem and they destroyed the city and they destroyed the temple. That was quite a bit of trouble. Or think about at the end of the world, when Christ comes again. That's going to be great, great trouble for the majority of people because they do not know Jesus Christ. It's hard to identify what trouble is being referred to here, but here's the good news, though. The angel is saying that whoever has been written in God's book of life, even if you're living during any of these times of great trouble, hey, it's going to be okay. Because God wrote us in his book even before creation, and he's going to carry us through the trouble. And if we die in the trouble, he's taking us home to heaven. So he wants us to have great joy in knowing that he has written us in who know Jesus Christ. And then in verse 2, it talks about the return of Christ. So it says, "And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." So when Jesus comes, he's going to raise all people. The repentant ones, they will be raised to life eternal. The unrepentant ones, they will also be raised, but they will be raised in order to be punished forever and ever. So repentance is what makes all the difference. The repentant ones, blessed forever. The unrepentant ones, in trouble forever. And then in verse 3, it talks about the blessedness of believers for all eternity. So it says, "And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." So how is it that you and I can be wise? To put it simply, I believe we can be wise by focusing on and living for eternal things. For most people in the world, and even generally for most Christian people in the world, we are so wrapped up in temporary things that not much of our lives has to do with eternal things. God is saying the ones who are wise, they recognize what is temporal versus what is eternal. They take the temporal things, they know they have some need for them, they hold on to them loosely, they give the temporal things some time in their lives, but they're especially, though, focused on the eternal things. They're hanging on to those the most, and they know these things here are most important. That's how we can be wise going forward in our lives. Going on to our next reading now, I want to focus a little bit on the epistle and then on the gospel. I'll do this more quickly than I did with Daniel. But first of all, though, before I get to the reading itself, when we think about Satan, we can tell from the Old Testament that he had more freedom than he does today. In the Old Testament, in the book of Job, there was a meeting, and it was taking place in heaven. And it's kind of shocking there. You can read about it in Job chapter 1. But Satan was attending the meeting in heaven. So it's kind of odd. But yet in this reading, we're going to find out that there was a war in heaven and he was booted out. So when is the time of Job? That was about 4,000 years ago. When did the war take place in heaven? It's very difficult to pinpoint when that took place in heaven. Certainly when Jesus died on the cross, that was the Son of God crushing the head of the serpent when he died on the cross. But even the Son of God putting on human flesh was a huge thing because that was leading to the work he would do on the cross. And really with the gospel reading, it takes place between those two things, between him putting on human flesh and between him dying on the cross. So really, that's probably the place to focus on would be when he came, all that he did, and finally, the death blow to the devil when he was on the cross itself. In Revelation chapter 12, it says, "War arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who was called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, 'Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him, how? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives unto death.'" The only way we can win is in Jesus Christ. So we conquer the forces of evil in Christ. We do so in conjunction with the blood of the Lamb. We do so in conjunction with our testimony that on one hand, yes, we are sinners. On the other hand, we are forgiven in Jesus Christ. And then it says, they loved not their lives even unto death. In other words, there have been a lot of people over the course of time, and they have been given the choice. You can turn your back on Jesus Christ and we'll let you live, or you can hang on to Jesus Christ and we will put you to death. And what did those people do? They said, my relationship with Jesus Christ is more important than life itself. I love him more than I love me. That's what they said. And then, this is more pertinent for us today. It says then in verse 12, "Woe to you on earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short." So the Bible says that Satan prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. If you read further in chapter 12, you'll find out that the devil attempted to devour the Savior himself, and yet he didn't. Then the devil attempted to wipe out all believers in the whole world. God intervened and saved them. The devil tried again to wipe out all believers in the whole world, and God intervened and saved them. And then the devil finally said, okay, I couldn't get the Savior. I can't get them all at once. Therefore, here's my plan. I'm going to go after every believer in the world, one person at a time. He has nothing else to do. He is doomed forever, and he wants to hurt God as much as he can. And how can the devil hurt God? By pulling us away from the Son of God and our salvation. So we should know that he is working at that even now. So what is vital for us? It is vital for us to remain close to Jesus Christ. It is vital for us to remain close to the Word of God. Think about a soldier that wandered out of the barracks in the morning and out into a place, and he thought it was safe, so he didn't put on his bulletproof vest, he didn't grab his rifle, and now he's in a place where he thinks it's safe, and he finds out, oh, now I'm surrounded by the enemy. Does he have any chance at all? By no means. What about us? If we find ourselves out in the world and we think we're okay, but we're not armed with the Word of God, and the shield of faith that we have is not very strong and mature, we're going to be overwhelmed by the enemy. God wants us to know that. So even when I talked about memorizing the ABC verses, those are not just for children. Those are all of us, because that's the truth of God's Word. God will use that to fortify us. God will use that to strengthen us. God will use that so that we can remain in Jesus Christ. Real quick here with our gospel reading for today. We took a look at this as part of a larger sermon about a month or so ago. But what we have is we have the 70 or 72 returning from what we might call a short-term missionary trip. And these men, they said to Jesus, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And then Jesus said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." So Jesus was acknowledging that, yes, guys, I've given you authority over the demons. And when you were out there, I saw Satan fall. So God wants us to know that they have power over the demons, and we do too, because we have God with us. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. We have the very Word of God, so even we have power over the demons. But is that the big deal here, though? It's not, because Jesus went on and said to them, "Rejoice in this, that your names are written in heaven." That's the main thing. Earlier, we talked about the book of life. Here, talking about the same thing with our names being written in heaven. Let me conclude in this way. Evil angels, they are many. They are very, very powerful. Yet, through Jesus, who is the Christ, who is the Son of God, we need not fear them. So let us know that in Christ we are forgiven. Let us know that in Christ we are angel protected. Let us know that in Christ we are blessed richly, both now and forevermore. Regarding the challenge for today, I'm simply saying, take 5 minutes and write down some things that you learned today about angels. That way you'll remember them better. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for granting us the amazing gifts of life, forgiveness, angel protection, and heaven. In Jesus' name, we give you thanks. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.